give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 11:04 on a Thursday night here, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until midnight as we go in the post for about a good 55 minutes. Dylan McKinnon producing the show. Great work by my man Carl Namoli here, engineering things back here at the Sixers Radio Network as they fall once again on the road, 112-101. Record now stands at 31-21, and the 76ers away from the center are 9-19. They return home after going 0-4 on this four-game road trip, a terrible road trip. They return home tomorrow for the second night of a back-to-back, taking on the guys in waiting, the 26-25, holding down the eighth spot in the Western Conference, surprising Memphis Grizzlies at the center tomorrow night. And you can hear that starting at 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But tonight, once again, the 76ers fall to the Milwaukee Bucks 112-101. And they have now lost four in a row, all four of those on the road. And even with them losing the four on the road, before they had the wins against the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, they lost to the Toronto Raptors. Right? Lost to the Toronto Raptors 107-95. So they lost their last five on the road. And the Sixers tonight had many issues. Ben Simmons only shooting six times tonight. He and Shake Milton, 12 shots together combined. 5 of 6 for Ben Simmons. Got to the free throw line four times for 11 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists, 4 turnovers in 41 minutes and 32 seconds. A game high, 41 minutes and 32 seconds. But why are you only shooting six times? I know Embiid put up 26, Horford 17, Tobias Harris 23. Why are you only putting up 6 points after you called out the team and said we played soft? Well, I understand that you got the 9 assists, and you also had some passes where you hit the guys in their shooting pocket. They missed a shot. You would have had more assists. I get all of that. The aggressive down-the-hill nature, putting the ball on the floor, get to the basket, draw the attention, kick the ball out. Yes. The way the game was going and the way things you saw, even though Tobias Harris was 10 of 23, Joel Embiid 6 of 26, who clearly struggled in the first half, get yours. Yes, you can still get yours and get your teammates in rhythm. That was frustrating tonight to see Ben Simmons like that. Even Furkan Korkmaz, coming off the bench, was able to squeeze off 12 shots. I understand he's out there to shoot, but he was able to get off 12 shots where Ben Simmons 5 of 6 from the floor tonight. Joel Embiid, once again, struggled mightily. 1 of 6 in the first quarter. Second quarter, 0 of 5. So he was 1 of 11 at the break. Carl Namoli and I were sitting there looking at each other. I mean, really? 1 of 11? 1 of 11 and good shots. So what is that? That tells me that, one, his hand is bothering him. Two, he still looks a little tired, so he's not yet in game shape after being back for about 4 games now. And three, he started pressing after a while, which again causes him to be a little bit more fatigued because he's trying to put too much pressure on himself to make the buckets. 19 points, 11 boards. He finished with 6 assists, 2 turnovers, 1 block shot, 5 personal fouls, 10 three-point attempts tonight, 3 of 10. And whenever they play the Milwaukee Bucks, I'll say this just to make sure I point this out with his 10 three-point attempts and even Al Horford's 12. They allow you, Milwaukee's defense, they allow you to shoot that way. So if they're wide open like that, and he was getting some good looks in the mid-post on the low block, he was not making them. I would like for him to get the easy ones to get him going behind the three-point line, but the way that they play defense, I don't mind those for the most part. I really don't. But he struggled. And if here's the only reason I do have an issue with it is because if the hand is really bothering him, he's doing something that's out of his comfort zone right now because he's restricted with the bum left hand, his guide hand. You still need, most people do, you need your guide hand to shoot at such a distance that Joel Embiid was attempting those three-pointers from. So that's a little bit of an observation for me. 19 points, 11 boards, 6 assists for Joel Embiid in 33 minutes straight up. Al Horford, we mentioned, 5 of 17. 12 of those 17 from deep made 5 of 12. 6 boards, 15 points, 33 minutes and 25 seconds. Tobias Harris, 25 points on the night. 7 boards, 4 assists. Probably the most consistent on the night, even though he was 10 of 23. 5 of 6 from deep. Probably the most consistent. Korkmaz, 12 off the bench. Matisse Thybulle, 5. Mike Scott knocked down a 3. As well as Mario Šajak, his NBA debut. 7 minutes and 29 seconds. 3 points on 1 of 3 shooting, all from behind the 3-point line. He also is in there for one reason and one reason only. Fire it up. And he was able to get off 3 3-point attempts for the 76ers in his NBA debut. They shot the ball 99 times, 37 of 99. My goodness, 99 shots, 37.4%. Sorry about that. 45 threes overall for the 76ers, 19 of 45, shooting 42%. Getting to the free throw line only 14 times. When you fire them up at that rate, you are not going to be aggressive enough to get to the free throw line and give yourself an opportunity to get some freebies. Only 14, 8 of 14, 57%. Getting crushed on the boards tonight. Really on the defensive glass, 51 to 39. 11 offensive rebounds the Sixers had to the 9 from Milwaukee. 60 to 50 on the glass. Milwaukee Bucks with the advantage. Turning the ball over the Sixers 11 times. 13 points off those turnovers for the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Bucks shared the ball 14, 16 points on the miscues by the Milwaukee Bucks, who shot 46.8%, 44 for 94, 12 of 37 for their 32% from deep, 12 of 18 from the free throw line, and once again, 60 boards to 50. In the paint, 48 to 30. Giannis got there anytime he wanted. Chris Middleton getting work done down there as well. Eric Bledsoe, the same. Robin Lopez hit 2 threes, so his damage on his 3 field goal makes, 2 from deep, 1 from a little bit closer. So just some of the things that happened tonight again. Overall, you just looked at this game and said, as the game was playing out, while the Sixers were still leading, while the Sixers were doing their thing where they were hanging around long enough when the Bucks took their lead, Milwaukee was just a better team tonight. Milwaukee was a better team at home tonight. And even if the Sixers were a better team, you thought had a chance to win the game, they were away from the center. So betting, if we were to bet, we were to bet that they were going to fall at some point because they do not win at home. Losing again their 19th of the season, now 9-19. 31 of 21 overall. Losing their last 5 away from the center. 4-game road trip starting with the Atlanta Hawks, ending tonight with the Milwaukee Bucks. 2 games squeezed in between. Lost all 4, 0-4 on this road trip. 3 games remaining before the All-Star break, all at the center, starting tomorrow on the second night of back-to-back against the Memphis Grizzlies. Sunday, hosting the Chicago Bulls. And finally, on the 11th, I believe, it is the Los Angeles Clippers in here for the final game of the first part of the season heading into the All-Star break. And as we know, the Clippers are a very good basketball team right now, taking on the Houston Rockets. No, that's the Lakers taking on the Houston Rockets. The Clippers won. They are second in the Western Conference, 36 and 15. So we'll see them next week back here in Philadelphia. Some trade news that you've heard all day long here on the Fanatic. The Sixers late last night after Joe Torty signed off made a move. We talked about it during the show when we were together. The Brooklyn Nets and the Golden State Warriors about to get things started at Barclays. We saw the report that both Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III were going to be unavailable. They were not able to play. Hugging and shaking hands of their teammates, staffers from the Golden State Warriors. As it turns out, while we thought it could be a possibility that one of them would make it here down 95 to Philadelphia, how about both of them now members of your Philadelphia 76ers acquired late last night for 3 second-round picks? A nice job by Elton Brand. I don't know how much of a difference this is going to make, but what they do bring to the table is something that we talk about when these acquisitions are made or we see the Sixers are looking into different players. They possess things that the 76ers really just currently don't have at this time. They do not. Number one, they have the size as shooters, size as wing defenders, size as guys who can put the ball on the floor and make things happen, specifically Alec Burks, who is more of a scorer than a three-point shooter, but shooting at a very good clip, 37% from deep. Glenn Robinson III, much improved, shoots over 40% from behind a three-point line. And I had a chance to speak to somebody in the league when the Sixers had him around early during their rebuild years. And they said one thing that they didn't understand with the athleticism and the rebuilding that the team was going through, trying to grow and develop players, when they would see him work out, during the time when he was here, Glenn Robinson III, he could shoot. He could really shoot. Much improved. So, it's interesting to see how things are going to turn out with these two players. Should be available tomorrow, both Robinson and Alec Burks. A fan of both of them from afar. Burks a little bit more than Robinson III, because again, I think he's a scorer, not a shooter, but can shoot, has improved that aspect of his game. And playing on the Golden State Warriors with so many injuries to their team and so many different things happening for them, he had a chance, both he and Robinson, to showcase their skills, having a career high over 16 points, over 12 points for Glenn Robinson III. So the Sixers picked up two good pieces to bring off the bench for their team. Let's see how they are able to gel within the team over the next 30 games for the season. It's great that, of course, the All-Star break is upcoming, so they have these three games at home that they can play with the team. They don't have to travel, and during the All-Star break, they can get some things, bring it to Philadelphia, have their stuff here while they stay probably at a hotel for the next couple of months until the season is done, and lock in for this playoff push, where the Sixers are right now sixth in the Eastern Conference, half a game behind the Indiana Pacers, who are idle tonight. A full 4 games behind the Miami Heat, 5 games behind the Boston Celtics, and 6.5 behind the second seed Toronto Raptors. So let's get things started, guys, on the phones. 610-632-0975. Sixers lose their 4th straight, 4 in a row on this 4-game road trip, falling tonight to the Milwaukee Bucks 112-101. We'll take your phone calls on that, 610-632-0975, and get your thoughts on the Sixers' acquisitions of Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III from the Golden State Warriors. Some subsequent moves: Trey Burke released by the team today, waived by the team today. James Ennis traded to the Orlando Magic for second-round pick. So they had to create some space with the two roster spots, two bodies coming in from the Golden State Warriors, and Ennis and Burke are now going elsewhere. Match Orlando for Ennis, and we'll see where, if Trey Burke winds up anywhere at all in the association. 610-632-0975. There was also the report out there earlier from Keith Pompey that Kyle Quinn, the other reserve backup center for the 76ers, was away from the team tonight for personal reasons. So we'll see how things play out overall. Glenn Robinson III, Alec Burks, believed to be available tomorrow night against the Memphis Grizzlies, who are very good and hot coming into the center. I think they lost their last game. As I check it really fast, the Grizzlies won 2 in a row. How about that? They won 2 in a row. Their last game against the Mavericks yesterday, 121-107, and they beat the Detroit Pistons as well before that. And they have won 6 of their last 7. So, yeah, they're playing pretty good basketball. And games that they've won, good teams, Phoenix, Denver, Dallas. You take, yeah, they did their job. 610-632-0975. Let's go in the post with Bryant in Philly starting things off for us tonight on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bryant?
Hey, how's your night going?
Could have been better. They didn't get their doors blown off, but they did not come away with the victory once again on the road.
Yeah, I heard you make a comment that the Bucks was a better team tonight, but they're just a better team overall than the Sixers. It's proven with stats. It's proven with the record. I believe TNT showed a stat.
Without a doubt, you're absolutely right.
Place in like five like categories, and I was just thinking like, where are the Sixers at as far as like stats? I don't think the Sixers have enough scoring, and I don't think they have the leadership, and I don't think they're going to go far in the playoffs. And I feel like if the Sixers play like the Heat or the Bucks in the playoffs, I could see them losing in the six-game series. And I feel like if they play like the Pacers, the Raptors, I could see that them winning in a seven-game series. But if they play the Celtics, I could see them losing in a seven-game series.
Well, I actually think the Sixers still match up very well against the Boston Celtics, where they have the advantage and they won 3-1 season series despite that last loss in Boston on Saturday. I really do think they still match up very well against them. The Celtics did not make any trades to strengthen their center position. Now, they could do something at the buyout period if some other big names potentially free up and they are able to acquire those guys. But in terms of the Miami Heat, I would definitely give them the advantage. I like the Andre Iguodala move. I also like them sneaking in Jay Crowder as well in that deal while sending Deion Waiters, James Johnson, and Justice Winslow on the way out. So I actually think that they would fare well against the Boston Celtics. Miami, Toronto, not so much.
And one last thing. Do you think the move they made today is enough?
No.
Okay.
No.
I think it's really going to come down to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, which it should come down to them. And unless Ben Simmons turn into the Greek Freak and be home. That's another thing. I think the Bucks is just more hungry than what the Sixers. The Sixers aren't hungry.
Yeah, they have a different mentality. There's something about that Bucks team, Brian. Thanks so much, man. They have a different mentality when they step on the floor. And you're right. I mean, I said that they were better tonight. Obviously, they're a better team overall. They're the best team in the NBA right now with their record standing where it is currently in the NBA at 44-7. They're the best team in the league, and it's not even close. I'm just simply pointing out in the matchup tonight, and Christmas Day, the Sixers were the better team. Bucks better team overall. Sixers were the better team on Christmas Day. Tonight, the Bucks were the better team on the floor, and they were the best team overall in the league this evening at their arena. 610-632-0975. Jim, Adam, Mike, everybody else, hang on. We'll come right back. We'll get you guys on the phones to give you all your time. I don't want to put you on right now. We got to go to break. Shorten your time. 610-632-0975. The Sixers fall to the Bucks 112-101. Now 31-21 on the season. The Bucks improve to 44-7. Most importantly, once again, the 76ers 9-19 after this loss on the road. 610-632-0975. We're going to end the post until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! Hey! 11:28, 97.5 The Fanatic in the post. Devon Givens with you. 610-632-0975. 112-101. 76ers drop another one on the road. Their 19th on the road. Their fourth one on this road trip and their fifth straight on the road. 610-632-0975. Amazing. Still cannot believe that this team is so bad on the road. 610-632-0975. So keep it moving on the phones. Get everybody in and give them an opportunity. And we'll play. Also, you know, Dylan McKinnon doing a great work as always. Has some cuts from Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, or Charles Barkley, whatever one it is, talking about the Sixers. But let's go to Jim and Fox Chase on the Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, man. What's up?
How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Hanging in there.
Yeah. So getting back to tonight's loss, there's just, you know, just a big difference between both teams right now, including just going to three individual players. Talk about Greek Freak, Ben, and Embiid. When you talk about Giannis, the guy wants it. He works hard at his game. He clearly cares about the game, and he cares about his teammates and wants to get his team to play at his level. And when you look at the Sixers, when you look at Embiid and Simmons, two guys that say that they're great players, but they don't do it every night, and they don't work on their game to get even better. And it's just very frustrating to watch it again, to see them on the road and just to see the miscommunication and just not to see everybody on par. And it has just been a really frustrating year. They're just great at home, but on the road, it's just really disappointing. And it's a joke. What a sad way to end this road trip.
It's a joke that they are this bad on the road, man. It's mind-boggling. And 9-19. When, Jim, at what point did we think at this stage of the season they would have 19 losses on the road? look at this. They have 21 losses overall. 19 of them on the road.
19 of them on the road. And the Charlotte Hornets have the same exact record on the road as them.
Hey, man. Hey, I've ran those down for the last couple of weeks. Let me give them to you again. Let's do this together, okay, Jim. We'll give them to the people who may not know. The Brooklyn Nets, 8-15. The Orlando Magic, 9-18. The Chicago Bulls, 8-18. The Detroit Pistons, 8-17. The Charlotte Hornets, 8-19. And the New York.
One more question I was going to ask you. With the trade deadline passed and seeing Elton Brand, I actually like the moves they made to get those two shooters.
I agree.
It was kind of desperate. They're having career years, but it's kind of a terrible team, so they've been getting their minutes. But I know they'll be coming off the bench. Just curious about your opinion, because mine is they still don't really get them over the top or anything, and just curious how that fit will work.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jim. Great stuff, man. Thank you for the call. I like Burks. I'm good with Glenn Robinson because he has, as Jim talked about, Giannis getting better and better and improving his game. If you look at the numbers from Glenn Robinson, and again, he's having an opportunity to play on the floor. He was in Detroit playing on the floor as well, but he's having a career year. So I'm good with both of them, Jim, coming in here. Do they get them over the top? I don't think so. No, I'm just going to say no, because at the end of the day, since there was no real significant move, and we mean a big one like D'Angelo Russell coming to Philadelphia, but he went to Minnesota, Andrew Wiggins now going to Golden State. Because of that it's not a huge move, it's a good move, it's still on the shoulders of Simmons and Embiid. 610-632-0975. Adam in Germantown on the Fanatic. Adam.
Okay, I appreciate the time, Devon. I'm going to try and be as quick as possible.
I'll take your time.
I researched the trade, okay, because Alec Burks was a guy I would follow as one of the guards in Utah.
Yep.
That's all I remember.
I remember
one
we talked about him.
One of the guards in Utah.
Yeah.
And he kept playing solid games, and then he would keep getting hurt.
Agreed. Yep.
That's all I knew about him. I never saw him play. I'm being honest. So then, when the Sixers made the trade last night, all I did was go to Google Sixers News. It was 3 a.m. Bang, the trade had come. So I was like, all right. I looked into Glenn Robinson is legit. At this point in his career, he is a legit backup swingman. I mean, could he possibly start? Yeah, he could. I mean, in my opinion. But Josh Richardson, you know, obviously is the starter once he comes back. Do I think he is better than Milton? Yes, I do.
You talking about Robinson or Richardson?
Yeah,
okay.
A Robinson.
Okay.
But everyone, and I'm telling you, I researched this guy to the bone. Everyone is underestimating. You're not, though. Alec Burks. Alec Burks, if he can stay on the floor, and that's been the key. I mean, he is rehabbed. He's come back with the Golden State Warriors. He has started to play very well. Helps your overall execution on both offense and defense. He helps every player. He has point guard capabilities. He is a fantastic combo guard. He will work very well with Ben Simmons, but he will work very well with making other players better. And he is a legit scorer. He does all the little things. He is a really solid 6'5". And he can just do everything you can think of. The question is only, can he stay on the floor? But people are definitely underestimating Alec Burks. And if tomorrow night these guys are here, like you say, active, usually Brett Brown throws them into the fire pretty quick. You will see a much more efficient performance, even with Embiid and Horford together, which we've never seen, in my opinion, all year. But you will just dish this game out the door and wait to see this guy, Alec Burks, can really, in my opinion, make a huge difference in their overall execution on both ends of the floor.
I agree. I would give him, thanks for the call, man. Great stuff. I would give him some more responsibility the way that we speak about Josh Richardson being that secondary ball handler for Embiid. With Simmons out there when they take him off of the basketball. Shake Milton has done a nice job. Alec Burks is a proven scorer as well. When healthy, as Adam just said, when healthy, he can do some things for you. He really can. And I'm intrigued to see how he plays out, because when we talk about who's going to take the last shot, who's going to be able to break down a defense in the clutch and give themselves an opportunity, Alec Burks is always, all the way since Colorado, his time in Colorado in college, and then drafted by Utah, which is why he was drafted where he was, because the guy can flat out score. Because he was able to do so many things with the ball on the string, his handle at 6'5", 6'6". He's going to come in and provide something off the bench in terms of a scoring punch. Point guard, he is not. He is a combo guard that can handle the ball, and we know how things go now in today's NBA. You don't necessarily have to be a point guard, just be a guard, and he can shoot. He can shoot. He has a weird little hitch in his jumper, but it's his, and it works. 610-632-0975. Mike in Baltimore next on the Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, how you doing, Devon?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, good. I have a problem with him. I don't understand Ben Simmons, man. I really believe he's a great player. I think he could be dominant, but I think he don't have confidence in his shot.
Oh, yeah, that's clear. Yeah.
I noticed in college he never shot the ball.
No, he did not.
And he got to work on that. If he don't, any basketball player, for him to be a professional and won't shoot the ball, it's disturbing to me. I mean, an amateur, even myself or maybe you, when we go out on the court or play the amateur ball, you know, we will shoot the ball. He won't even shoot the ball. To be 6'10", got a handle and everything, he's dominant. But he could be even outstanding dominant if he could just have confidence of just with a mid-range jump shot, or he got a good form, but he don't have no confidence in his shot.
Well, that's what we're all waiting on. And the thing that was problematic tonight was he only shot the ball 6 times. And we don't mean in this case, as you're talking about, Mike, shooting jumpers. We're just simply talking about the fact that He only attempted 6 shots, 5 of 6, but we needed more from Ben Simmons tonight.
And then he talked about people being soft.
That was,
the team being soft. He being soft by not trying to shoot the ball.
Hey, when he said that, and you're right, Mike, thanks for the call, man. I stated the exact same thing, that if he's going to say that, he needs to be talking about himself as well, because he hurts the team by not shooting the basketball. Plain and simple. 610-632-0975, Clyde in South Jersey. What's up, Clyde?
Hey, what's up, D?
What's happening, man?
Not much. Mad about this game.
Yeah, another L on the road. 9-19.
I know the NBA and the coaches don't really call plays, but in the first half, Embiid and Simmons both tried to set six, and both of them rolled. They did it almost back to back. And then, I guess right after the second half, I counted 7 trips. Embiid dives down the court and posts up at the 3-point line. Now, is that coaching or is that... Do they call set? I'm more of a football guy. I play football with college and all that. I like basketball, but is that coaching or is there's got to be a set? Or I know they don't call plays like that, but
well, they want him at the top sometimes to be the guy who kind of sets those picks when the ball swings back around to somebody else on the perimeter. But they don't mind him shooting a few times out there on the perimeter. I don't know which one you were talking about, because you said he had a few of them in this, you know, straight possessions where he did that. But yeah, he starts the offensive play at the top of the key a lot of times. One, because you want to make sure there's room for Simmons to do his work, and two, same with Al Horford. So the spacing that everyone talks about quite a bit, Clyde, is that's why we do see him out there so often.
That ain't working.
Too much, right?
You come off the court, Horford come out there and do the same exact thing. Shooting 5 threes like these. Why we get the shooters? Where the shooters gonna go when the big man coming down the court and don't want to get off the 3-point line?
Well, we'll see, man. We will see how they try to. We'll see how Brett Brown implements those guys into the offense and where they fit best, man. Thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Nice pickups. Let's see where they fit within the rotation. We'll talk about the rotation on the other side as well. Sean and John, you'll close the thing down. On the other side, 610-632-0975. In the post, I'm Devon Givens, Dylan McKinnon producing here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5, The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Final segment in the post. Devon Givens with you. Dylan McKinnon producing the show again. Great work by Carl Namoli tonight. Brian Seltzer and Tom McGinnis during the Sixers broadcast. You can hear Brian at 6:50 for the pregame show tomorrow. Tom McGinnis at 7 o'clock, tip-off from the center. Sixers hosting the Memphis Grizzlies, and that's right here on 97.5. The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Sixers weren't the only ones in action tonight. The Flyers as well. They occupied the center tonight. 5-0. They fell to the Devils. So we'll be nice and just leave that there. 610-632-0975. Not a good night for the winter teams, right? Not a good night at all. Sean in the Northeast next on the Fanatic. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Devon? Yeah, that Flyers game wasn't much better, right?
No, it was not. No.
I'd like two points and kind of questions for you. First, I know I was hyped up for the deadline and the game tonight, but really, regardless who we get, I mean, they got to get it together. It didn't really matter who we get. It's not going to change much, but I watched a team like Villanova last night. They lost at the buzzer, but you could tell they fight as a team. They want to win. I just don't see that with the Sixers. So, like, my question for you, what's your level of worrying, and can they get it together? I got one more quick point after that for you.
Can they get it together? Yeah, there is still time. Do they have it within them? As you said, the level of fight that they have, do they have it in them? I have to be honest, Sean, I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea if they have it in them. Based on everything we've seen, they have it in them when they're at home. They have nothing in them in terms of the fight when they're on the road. It's just, it's, I cannot explain it except for that. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. I guess my other question for you, I follow a lot of guys on Twitter. I see a lot of the like post deadline buyout stuff. I saw some names like Isaiah Thomas, Evan Turner, Dellavedova. Do you think they'll try and make like another move or not really? This is it pretty much.
I think Elton Brand and the rest of the group will scour the buyout market and see what's available and see if they can jump in there and find someone that will help them out going forward. So yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. They've done it in the past, and I wouldn't see any reason why they wouldn't try it again.
Yeah, all right, man. I really appreciate it. I hope better times are to come for the Sixers.
Let's hope so, man. Appreciate it. Sean, John in Spring Garden next on the Fanatic. Johnny.
Hey, Devon. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Man, coming from the Flyers game, so not too well. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm a basketball guy like you. You know what I mean? Played against Kobe and Rasheed Wallace and some of the dudes. So basketball's in my heart. You know, I got a bunch of questions for you. Probably not enough time to get to them all. But, you know, first question is, how do you think they did today? Do you think those pieces will help? Two, why are they not surrounding Ben Simmons with shooters? I'm okay with the talent of Ben Simmons and all he brings, the rebounds, the steals, the pushing the ball. However, why have they not constructed this team to the way that Brett Brown wants to play it? They got no shooters. And then three, can I get your real opinion on Al Horford? Like, I don't want to be too hard on the cat, but like for the money he's making, and you hate to go to money, but for the money he's making, he just was not a fit. Why did they do that? And then my last question is, in your honest opinion, because I know you're a basketball guy, do you think they could get it together to make a run, you know, before the playoffs, between now and April? Do you think they can get it together? And then
they have it in them to do that stuff, John, at home. They haven't shown me, you, or anybody else enough to say that they can get it done on the road. So that's the difficult part. They are going to have to go on the road at some point and win those games. Secondly, in terms of Al Horford, my honest opinion, I still believe that they are using him wrong. Once again, tonight he was hoisting up the three-pointers. He shot 12 threes on his 17 shot attempts. That's not how you want to use Al Horford. The way I thought they wanted to use him was what we saw early. Some quick screen and rolls, pick and pops to the left wing where Ben Simmons, they ran it two times in a row. The first time it worked, the second time it did not because Giannis sniffed it out. But I thought it was a good play. And that's where you want to use him. Give him three, maybe five max three-point shots because he can make them. But I don't want him as a trail man all the time catching it when the ball swings and having to worry about ball faking and trying to put the ball on the floor and get to the rim.
Smooth.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's not going to last.
That's for other guys who are playing stretch four, like Tobias Harris, Kevin Durant, and thanks for the call, John. Players like that. Not Al Horford. Not saying that he can't shoot, but not shooting that much from that distance. A lot. Why are they not surrounding Ben Simmons with shooters? I don't know why Elton Brand didn't add a few more shooters in the offseason. Right now, they went and got two of them, so you take those two and see where they go from here. Korkmaz shooting much better, as we know, but he's streaky as well. And just to be clear, as much as I like Alec Burks is a streaky player also. Mitch in Phoenix next on the Fanatic. Mitch.
Are you guys in denial?
Who is you guys?
Well, I don't understand your callers. I don't understand you. I don't understand anybody else that's talking about the Sixers. Other than Charles Barkley and Shaq, nobody seems to have the real reasons why the Sixers suck.
And what is that?
Well, if you listen to them, I don't know if you did, one guy, meaning Barkley, he just says they're soft and they're not giving the effort that they need to give. And Shaq said about Embiid There is no excuse for going 1-for-12, 3-for-15.
I did say that. You didn't hear that earlier?
Well, it's just like...
Hold on. You didn't hear that earlier when I said that?
No, I just got on...
We started at 11 o'clock. I said that at the very top.
Yeah, but your callers are asking you, do you think we can turn this around?
And I said, I don't think so.
Why aren't we surrounded with shooters? You're not surrounded with shooters because you don't know how to draft. You don't know how to sign the right free agent, like a shooting guard, like a guy that takes jump shots. You watch that Ben Simmons dribble down the court, gets to a certain spot, and turns around and throws it to somebody else. You name me any guard in the history of the NBA that plays like that.
Well, none. Thanks for the call, Mitch. Appreciate it. Again, you tuned in late, so you didn't hear everything. The callers are asking because they still want to have hope. They want their basketball team to be better. They want the expectations that were set for them to come to light when April 15th is done and we're getting ready for the playoffs. And that's okay. They don't want the season to end now. They're still going to make the playoffs. They're in the sixth seed right now. And quite frankly, they might want to stay in the sixth seed because while they are behind four games, three games, it doesn't seem like a lot. Just stay there. Stay there and avoid, if you can, the Milwaukee Bucks into the Eastern Conference Finals. Dylan McKinnon, great work, man. Thanks so much. Carl Namoli, Brian Seltzer, Tom McGinnis. Thanks to all the callers, all the tweets. I'll be back tomorrow starting at 6 o'clock before Sixers Grizzlies. And we will chat things up tomorrow before the game. So have a great night. Be safe driving out there. And I'll check in with you tomorrow right here, 6 o'clock on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.